move on to the next case of the day. And that is case number 03-1689, the Lagan Law Firm versus the FGC. Good morning.
May it please the court. My name is Thomas Magg, and I represent the plaintiff, the appellant, the Lagan Law Firm. As the court is aware, this is a Freedom of Information Act case. What this case is about, fundamentally, is whether the names and or addresses of persons who submit complaints to the Federal Trade Commission are exempt pursuant to Exception 6 of the Federal Freedom of Information Act. There is no dispute that plaintiff exhausted its administrative remedies. There's no dispute about jurisdiction. There's no dispute that plaintiff has pled all of the requirements necessary to plead a prima facie Freedom of Information Act case.
Well, let me
kind of imagine how you would feel if you made a complaint to the FTC and then subsequently got a letter from a lawyer saying, we learned from the FTC that you made a complaint and we're here to offer our services or something of that.
Well, we would not be contacting them to offer our services. Of course, that would be solicitation. How I would feel, Your Honor, is pleased that somebody is taking a look to see that I have a problem and maybe help me. In this case, we're seeking to contact them for potential witnesses.
So you'd be pleased to...
If somebody
learned that the FTC had your complaint that you made to a federal regulatory agency was given to
honestly, yes, sir, I would.
Mm-hmm. And so if we just follow your position to the logical end, then basically we would be opening the door for individuals and saying that individuals don't have a privacy interest in their credit card bills, phone bills, and mortgage statements.
Your Honor, I am not seeking anybody's phone bills. I'm not asking for anybody's credit card statements.
How do we know that's not next?
Right. That's the point.
Because I'm certain Your Honors would not allow me to get that kind of information. The information Exception 6 of the Freedom of Information Act only applies to personnel files, medical files, and similar files. This court... with two of Your Honors on the opinion recently had occasion to consider that this very
right. But there was a big difference between that case and this case because there was precedent stating that a person doesn't have a privacy interest in the purchase of a firearm. That was entirely different than this situation.
The United States Supreme Court in the Washington Post case stated that what constitutes a similar file, you must analyze the threshold issue of what it is similar to, meaning the personnel files or medical files.
Let me ask you this. If the FTC has provided this information only to law enforcement, would you still argue that you're entitled to disclosure?
That gets in, if it is a similar file, assuming it meets that initial threshold test, plaintiff disputes that it's been provided only to law enforcement, and because this was dismissed on the pleadings, a 12B6 motion, there was no factual record one way or the other on this matter. If it is only provided to law enforcement, and it is not provided to anyone else, such as the Better Business Bureau of America, the Chamber of Commerce, or any other private organization the plaintiff submits that it's been released to, then that weighs into whether or not it would be a clearly unwarranted invasion of personal privacy, but it's clearly not dispositive.
One of the things you claim is that the FTC has disclosed the information to the Consumer Sentinel.
Yes, sir.
But isn't that organization an international multi-agency law enforcement entity that does not release private information to the public?
To my knowledge, there's nothing in the record that would support that. The FTC has asked this court to take judicial notice of that fact, but I do not believe that would be an appropriate subject for this court or any court to take judicial notice of.
Why not?
Judicial notice generally applies to such things as something in the common knowledge of an entity or the court, such as Paris is in France, Chicago is in Illinois, the Illinois State Police is a law enforcement agency. I don't know what Consumer Sentinel is. The FTC probably does know what Consumer Sentinel is, but to my knowledge, there's nothing in the records that would tell this court what Consumer Sentinel is, and I'm certain that this court is not an expert on the FTC or its subsidiary organizations, such as it were. Additionally, private organizations, plaintiff believes, can access this Consumer Sentinel database, such as the Better Business Bureaus of America, the Australian Competition and Consumers League, and probably countless others. Plaintiff actually tendered discovery on this issue, because the plaintiffs believe that the defendants do provide this information to other entities. Also, in Department of State v. Washington Post, the Supreme Court stated that similar files are likely to contain such things as a place of birth, a date of birth, a date of marriage, an employment history, a passport information, or past criminal convictions. I can represent to the court that none of the information that the Supreme Court listed in Department of State, the Washington Post, is contained in the information that plaintiff is seeking. That's not in the record because the plaintiff was dismissed under 12b-6, but if this case were reversed and remanded to the district court, plaintiff could show that. Furthermore, the Supreme Court in Washington Post stated, the exemption was intended to cover detailed government records on an individual which can be identified as applying to that individual. You must recall, in Washington Post, what the Washington Post was seeking was passport information on Iranian nationals who may have had valid U.S. passports. The Department of State produced affidavits stating that because of the nature of the Iranian government at that time, shortly after the fall of the Shah, that if it were disclosed that these persons had valid U.S. passports, their lives could be endangered. There's been no allegation anywhere that anyone's life could be endangered or any way threatened by the disclosure of this information. In addition, in Washington Post, the requests were sent on two specific named individuals. In this case, plaintiff does not say, give me the information on John Doe. We're requesting information on consumer complaints. The two fundamental issues that this court must determine, though, is what are the definitions of similar files? And if it determines what the definitions are, do the documents requested fit that definition? If the court determines that the documents are not, quote, similar files, it never gets to the second stage. The second stage is, if the documents are similar files, would their release constitute a, quote, clearly unwarranted invasion of personal privacy? Clearly unwarranted is important because, as the court is aware, under Exception 7, it's just an unwarranted invasion. It is a lesser standard. In Exception 6 cases, it must be a clearly unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. Assuming that this court agrees with the district court that based on the pleadings, not on facts, but on the pleadings, the sought documents are similar files, their disclosure to plaintiff or anyone else would not, in fact, constitute a clearly unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. In addition, there is a public purpose consistent with the core purpose of the Freedom of Information Act that would justify the disclosure of these documents, even if it would be an invasion of privacy. That core purpose I see that I've reached into
You're
my...
You're going into your rebuttal?
Yes.
Do you want to?
I will finish on rebuttal. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Ms. Kurtz, thank you. Ms. Kurtz.
May it please the court. 2 points. These are similar files, and there has been no public purpose identified that is cognizable under FOIA that would indicate they should be released.
Has the FTC disclosed this information to other parties beyond the Consumer Sentinel site?
No, and Your Honor, it is easy and judicially noticeable to tell from the Consumer Sentinel site, which was cited in the record below on the motion to dismiss papers, and which is available to Judge Herndon and to Your Honors, that only law enforcement agencies have access to retrieve information from the site.
Was it given to the Better Business Bureau?
No, Your Honor. The Better Business Bureau, among others, can contribute information to the site, and the site makes that plain. If you are an agency, you then can enter into an agreement with the FTC that will allow for the appropriate confidentiality protections, and then you can get a password.
So, Mr. Mag is under a mistaken impression when he states that it was given to the BBB and the other groups.
That's correct. It's a confusion or misstatement that has persisted throughout this case, but it's easily rectified simply by visiting the site to understand there are contributors and then there are law enforcement agencies who can access the information.
And certainly it's part of the FTC's role or responsibility to collect consumer complaints to collaborate with law enforcement.
That's correct, Your Honor. And we believe that we're much more effective if we are able to collaborate with others. The Washington Post case can be selectively cited exactly as counsel has done, but to read the full case, you will see that the court clearly said similar files has a broad, not a narrow interpretation. And it's not limited to just intimate details. And the Supreme Court has further elaborated on Washington Post in Reporters Committee, in DOJ versus FLRA, and in the Bibles case. Those latter two cases involved similar files, which were extremely undangerous to disclose, extremely non-intimate to disclose, and yet they were considered similar files. Employee records for the federal government, or a simple mailing list that the Bureau of Lands Management used to mail out information to landholders. Second, there is no FOIA cognizable public interest that has been identified here. The interest that has been asserted has shifted over time, but there is nothing that goes to the core purpose of FOIA, that is, showing the public what the government is up to. What the government is up to with respect to these consumer complaints is readily apparent from the redacted copies, 1,400 pages, of these consumer complaints that appellant has received. Only the identities of the individual private consumers and their home addresses have been redacted, and those would not shed any light on what the government is up to. The Supreme Court was adamant about that in summarily reversing the court below there for having found a public interest that was cognizable under FOIA in allowing an environmental group to find out who BLM had been communicating with and providing those people with more information. So, Your Honor, we submit that the court below should be affirmed. It carefully weighed a non-existent public interest against a substantial privacy interest in one's home one's home address, one's identity as a complaining consumer about matters involving personal, financial, credit, mortgage, etc., and it came out with the correct result and should be affirmed.
Thank you, Ms. Curtis. 1 minute.
I'd just like to say there is a public policy purpose consistent with the core purpose of FOIA, and this core purpose was identified by Judge Herndon in his order, as well as plaintiff in the trial court. The core purpose is as follows. The FTC has a job to administer certain avenues of interstate commerce and has set up this consumer complaint database to do so. If anyone, a person who was inclined to do so, obtained, if nothing else, just the addresses of the persons who complained, not even the names, but the addresses, they could write a letter to those persons saying, did the FTC contact you, as the FTC says it sometimes does on its website? If so, did the FTC resolve your difficulty? That sheds light on agency action or inaction, and also shows, as in the City of Chicago case, maybe additional regulation would be necessary, maybe not. The identity of a requester under the Freedom of Information Act is utterly irrelevant. If anyone is entitled to the Freedom of Information Act documents, everybody's entitled. I see I'm out of time, Your Honor.
Did you have something, another thought you wanted to finish?
Very briefly, Your Honor, I would just ask that this court reverse Judge Herndon's order. Even if this court thinks the City of Chicago doesn't apply or was wrongly decided, there's an insufficient factual record to support Judge Herndon's dismissal as a matter of law in this case. Judge Herndon himself conceded that under City of Chicago, the requested documents are probably not similar files. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Thank you to you, Mr. Magan. Thank you to you, Ms. Kirst. Case will be taken under advisement.